In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The Christian conscience has been under attack by Satan for quite some time. All throughout the scriptures, we see it happening. In Luther's time, Satan used the Roman Catholic Church to bind people's consciences. He convinced the church to make matters of freedom canonical law. For example, they would call it a sin to not fast on Fridays from meat during Lent. And if they didn't follow that law, it would be considered sin. But now the problem has shifted to the other extreme today, where God's clear law shown in Scripture is doubted. Satan has caused doubt in many Christians concerning the inerrancy of Scripture, that the Bible contains the Word of God, but it isn't always true. And so Satan makes room within a Christian conscience to pick and choose what to believe. He's led people to disregard God's clear word concerning what's sin and what's righteousness. And that sins don't really matter anyway because, well, we have the forgiveness of sins. Satan has led many Christians to follow what they feel. And it's tempting to follow what we feel. Some may think that's what following your conscience means. But to follow your feelings is not to follow the conscience that you are given by the Holy Spirit. To follow your feelings is not to follow the mind of Christ, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. He says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ. Sinful man doesn't understand Jesus, nor does he understand God's law. He doesn't understand God's gospel. He doesn't understand his living, his suffering, his dying, his resurrection, his glory, his kingdom. Sinful man believes those things to be foolish. He can't understand those things because he doesn't have the mind of Christ. As St. Paul makes clear with this distinction between Christians and the world. To have the mind of Christ, we must have something come from outside of us to inform us. To follow what we feel inside our hearts isn't Christian, because it's not following the Spirit informed by the mind of Christ. That's why in the gospel text today, the promise that Jesus gives is so encouraging, because it teaches us that the Spirit of God is the one who informs our consciences, that he sends the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, to help inform our conscience concerning sin and righteousness and judgment as we live in an unbelieving world. The Spirit is not some rogue operator underneath the Father and the Son. He brings nothing new to the table, as some may be led to believe. He doesn't lead us to change the doctrines of God. He doesn't lead us away from what Christ himself has taught. Rather, he leads us towards it. As the text says, the Spirit of truth will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And what truth does the Holy Spirit hear? What does he speak? Well, he speaks nothing of himself. Rather, he presents the truth of Christ to you. As Jesus says, the Helper will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts sinners. He convicts them of their unbelief. As Luther puts it, any sin is unbelief. The first commandment is that we should have no other gods, meaning that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. If any transgression is committed before the Father in heaven, we also break the first commandment, because we live as if we mattered most. That's why we can't follow our feelings, because by nature, we're so far turned inward towards ourselves and what we want to be true. And so, we love ourselves more than God. We don't trust His statutes that are good and true. We don't fear the judgment which is to come. And now, if you're convicted by these words and feel guilt over your transgressions against God's law, that's the Holy Spirit doing His work. This is what Christ sent His Spirit to do. Let not your guilt overwhelm you, but may it humble you. May it cause repentance in you. May it guide you to the next thing that the Holy Spirit convicts you of, which is righteousness. The Holy Spirit also convicts sinners of righteousness. The righteousness that God desires is given to sinners through Christ our Lord. Through His merits, through His innocent suffering and death, through His resurrection from the grave, Jesus was declared righteous by His Father in heaven. None of us are righteous by our merits. Yet, through the Spirit of Christ, through Christ, the Spirit takes the righteousness of Christ and He declares it to you. Because of your goodness? No. But because of your faith, which receives Christ. Finally, the Holy Spirit convicts us of God's judgment. The evil foe, the prince of this world, is judged for all eternity. And that includes the unrighteousness within us, our misdirected and misinformed feelings. We have died to sin and live to God. The unrighteousness within us has been put to death with Christ on the cross, and the Spirit gives new life. The Spirit convicts us that by faith we are judged righteous before God and live with Him for all eternity. This is the truth that the Holy Spirit guides us into. It's the truth about the Father's Son, Jesus. Now, the challenge of faith is navigating this world. What's the truth of God? And what's a lie from the world? How do we discern what's godly living and what isn't? A spirit-informed conscience hears lies from the world and rejects what it has to offer. It rejects the teachings which contradict the Word of God, especially the teachings concerning what the world teaches about what sin is and what it isn't, who is righteous and who isn't, and what God the Father judges in eternity. In a world where its truth conflicts with the Spirit-informed conscience through the Word of God, what do we believe? What does godly living look like? Can I celebrate unrighteousness even when I don't practice it? Does it mean turning my back to the faults of my neighbors? Does it mean following my own moral code, guided by my feelings because what the church and God teaches is too much for me to bear? We can only know what's true through the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The challenge is that over time, our sins harden our consciences to what is true and what isn't. Or our sins harden our conscience to not really care about those kinds of questions. Sin acts like a callus to the conscience. Like a callus, the more we sin, the more hardened we are to the teaching of the truth, and the more hardened we are to repentance. When I played basketball growing up, the start of the season was always the worst because I would always get these huge calluses on my feet. And the repeated motion of those new shoes wearing on my feet from all the jumps and cuts that I would have to do, it caused those calluses to form. And as the season went on, the calluses on my feet became so thick and so hardened, I had no feeling left in that part of my foot. The same is true spiritually. The more we sin, the harder our soul becomes towards God. Eventually, we get to a point where we aren't convicted of sin and righteousness anymore. And we grow numb to the teachings of the truth, and we feel apathy, and we don't care. We struggle to know what's good and what's evil. And when we're left to these devices and these calluses form, we end up relying on the natural sinful man to discern when God talks and when the devil talks. And when that happens, we end up becoming like a bad baseball umpire behind home plate. When the pitcher pitches a ball, a bad umpire will call it a strike. And whenever the pitcher pitches a strike, the bad umpire will call it a ball. And so it goes for the calloused Christian. We call good evil and evil good. Therefore, we need a spirit-informed conscience in and through the Word of God. Only through the Spirit, through this manner, can we discern the errors of the evil one and the truth of Christ. Consciences become numb and hardened to God. But by the Holy Spirit who brings Christ to us, we receive healing. That's what we ask God to do here in the divine service, to soften and to heal our hardened, calloused consciences. That's why we say things after the sermon like, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil." And that's why we pray at the end of the Lord's Supper, "We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, through the Lord's Supper. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another." The Holy Spirit works here to make you clean, to restore your conscience, to make you holy. Through confession and absolution, through the Word of God preached from this pulpit and from the Lord's Supper, Jesus heals your consciences. He softens your hardened, calloused hearts through the riches of His grace and mercy, giving us the wisdom necessary to discern between what is godly and what's demonic. By Christ's mercy, the Spirit reaches down so that our sins may be clear to us, causing repentance and a rejection of Satan's wickedness. And He declares the righteousness of Christ to those who repent. A great example of this is from the Bible, is from David. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He killed Bathsheba's husband Uriah to cover up his lie. He stood condemned according to his sins. Did he know it? No. Not until the Word of God came from outside of himself. The Word of God came to Nathan, a prophet, who would then confront David's sinfulness to him. And by God's grace, God opened David's eyes through Nathan to his wicked deeds. He felt contrition and sorrow over his sins. He repented of his sins, and God forgave him of his sins. He was restored by God. And that's the context of David writing in the Psalms, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Just as David's conscience was softened by God's words, God's word confronting his sin, so does the Holy Spirit soften our consciences to the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Our feelings won't always tell the truth. That's why our consciences need to be informed by the Spirit of truth, which comes from the Word of God. When you feel terrified in your consciences about a sin that's forgiven, or you're terrified about things that aren't sins, like standing up for God's truth to the errors of the demonic world, listen to God's promise. Know that repentance is met with God's grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. And when you feel comfortable in your sins and you feel okay with your sins, pray that the Spirit would convict you of your wrongdoings, that sin in you may be curbed and repented of, that you may receive righteousness. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world. He comes to us so that we may be led into the truth of what sin is, who is our righteousness, and have hope in the coming judgment. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.